Hafaday, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from evangelist Will Gulkin. It was presented in September of 2006. The title of the message, The Greatest Passion of Life.
Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Here it is. All of Christianity boiled down to two commandments. Love God and love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. I think of how much better perhaps Harvest Baptist Church would be if people just loved God and loved their neighbor as much as they loved themselves. I think of how much our country would be. I think of how much better my family would be if daddy just loved God and daddy loved his kids and daddy loved his wife as much as daddy loves himself. To have a love for God that's mental in nature, but it's volitional and it touches the will, but it's from the heart. I believe that many times people who say that they love God, they talk about loving God, but they fail to love God. This morning it's really a quite simple outline. The first point is this: we're to love God with all that we are. It's to be a personal, passionate priority. Make your love for God a priority. This is the first and greatest commandment. The word first, it simply means before anything else, love God. Have you ever realized how this world conspires against a relationship to love God? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that in the midst of our busyness and our responsibilities and all that transpires around us, if we're not careful, soon we've forgotten that the whole goal of our Christian life is that we would love God. It's the first and greatest commandment. The Old Testament Jew understood this commandment because they would wrap in a phylactery, whether around their forehead or around their arm, they'd have a container that would have four verses, and two of the four verses would be about loving God. Love God with all that you are. Make it a priority. Great. The original supersize of Scripture is to be the biggest thing in our life. This is the first and greatest commandment. Make your love for God a priority. But in loving God with all that you are, make your love for God personal. Have you ever noticed in your heart how easy it is to judge other people? Who's ever noticed that? Would you raise your hand? It's easy to rib your spouse or somebody you love or some authority or somebody you're responsible for and say things like, are you listening to this? Make sure you love God over there. Yeah, you over there. You love God. No, this text of Scripture with its five personal pronouns is screaming that all of us would love God personally. But then make your love for God passionate. It's to be a priority. It's to be personal. It's to be passionate. Because three times we see with all that you are, go after God. It's the same intensity that God had for us in His love and sending Jesus to die for us here in His love. Not that we loved God, but that what? He loved who? He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation or a satisfier of the wrath of God. Love God with all that you are. Make it a personal, passionate priority. We've got all these folks that are going to be here during the Christian school year that they're going to sit through chapels. It's possible to know facts about God and not love God. Here we are. We're here at Harvest Baptist Church, and you're going to hear sermon after sermon. You're going to have different months, 12 months, that you're going to get a different aspect of who God is, and you're going to tie it into the fact that God is able. But you could fill your brain with facts about God and still not love God. It's not just the brain. But it's not just the heart. It's not just some ooey-gooey. It's not some little affection. It's not just, otherwise, we'd cancel the preaching. We get a little campfire right here. We'd all hold hands and we'd call it a good service, you know? Kumbaya. See, it's not just the brain. It's not just the heart. But it's not just the will. It's not just a I will, I will, I will. How many of you have ever met a cranky Christian? Would you raise your hand? How many have ever met one of those? They live their little life. It seems like there's a bitterness that's through all their choices. I will, I will, I will. Oh, friend, it's not just one of these. It's all three. It's from the head through the heart to the hands. It's intelligent, feeling, willing, serving. It's loving thoughts, loving affections, and loving actions. Love God with all that you are. You see, Jesus Christ, he said all the law could be wrapped up into the two commandments. Love God and love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. In fact, three times in the New Testament, he begins to tell us, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not lie or bear false witness. And he lists all the last five of the Ten Commandments. And then he wraps it up and he says, or you can just love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. You see, the Old Testament prohibitions can be turned around into New Testament choices of love. We take the first four of the Old Testament Ten Commandments. The fourth commandment is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This was an Old Testament prohibition that we were not to work on the Sabbath, but that we were to give God one day out of seven. But oh friend, as a New Testament Christian, you can make a choice of love to give God 24/7. You want to have some practical ways how you can love God in all that you do? First of all, or letter A, love God with your time. You see, the Old Testament prohibition, don't work on the Sabbath. But the New Testament choice of love is give God your time. Love God in how you spend your time. Do you realize that your time goes anywhere but God? Have you noticed that in your own life? It goes to our technology. It goes to our email websites. It goes to news, bestsellers, blogs, cable TV, blockbusters, AM, FM. It goes to our work, overtime hours, early commutes, late lunch, no supper. It goes to our games, basketball, hockey, soccer, football, lacrosse, and then our video games of our games. Our time will go anywhere but God. Two summers ago, Anna Grace was Velcro girl. She was just stuck to me. It's the original static cling. I mean, I'm like, I got to get some stuff done. I got to go. The Lord's like, don't you understand? She needs time. I get down on my floor in our fifth wheel trailer and I look at my little girl in her eyes and we begin to talk. You know what little girls talk about? Little three-year-old girls. You know what they talk about? Slides. Dandelions. Don't step on cracks because you'll break mama's back. All of a sudden, it's like her little heart is all full of some love and time with daddy. And she stands up and she gives me a kiss on the cheek and says, I love you. And she runs off to play. And now I'm left on the floor wiping a tear from my eye. You want to love God? Give God your time. Did you see that quote by Brother Utter up on the screen? Did you see that quote where he said God wants us to love him? He's given us a desire and the capability to love God. But that love, what in turn is cultivated by us spending time with God? Redeem the time because the days are evil. It could be that you used to rise up and spend time with the Lord, but now you've drifted away. You've got your responsibilities. Oh, friend, come on back to the Lord. Could be used to have a half an hour in the afternoon, a time where you just shut out all the other distractions of the day and work, and you just open up the Word, and you just get alone with the Lord. Give God your time. I'm sitting there flying, and we landed in Tokyo, and now we're coming over to Guam, and here I am. I got upgraded. I guess I've flown enough miles or something. We didn't pay for it, I'm sure of that. But here I am. I'm sitting in first class. You got your little monitor, you got your own little TV system, you've got all these things, and everything's busy. And I had taken my Bible from my computer bag and I'd stuck it in this little place to store it in front of me. And I pulled out that little TV and I got some food and they're bringing me stuff. And then my eyes saw my Bible. It's amazing how the rationalization kicks in. So thankful for those last night. The Lord just helped me, gave me grace. And I just pushed that little monitor down and shut everything else and grabbed my Bible and just had a sweet time with the Lord in Ephesians. Give God your time, because what gets your time is what you love, and what you love is what gets your time. It's really quite simple, isn't it? What you love gets your time, and what you give your time to is what you love. Give God your time. But in loving God with all that you do, not only love God with your time, but love God with your praise. The third commandment is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord God in vain. That means to treat God's name in a light, trivial manner. But have you ever noticed that sometimes you'll compare yourself with others, and as long as you look a little more spiritual than that person, that you feel good about yourself? It's never been about avoiding just taking God's name in vain. It's about a life that worships Christ. It's a life that your words match your heart. Love God with your praise. It's Hebrews when it says in chapter 13, verse 15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Do you understand? You'll speak about that which you seek. What you seek is what you speak. What you speak is what you've been seeking. Shallowness is not relegated to somebody who is a new believer. Shallowness is not relegated to somebody that is just a young person. I've known people who were in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, who'd known Christ for many years, but when you really got down to it, they were shallow because they never cultivated their love relationship with God. Oh, friend, get sick of being shallow. Get sick and tired of allowing yourself to live at a low level. You will speak about that which you're seeking. I was at Maranatha last week, and I was talking to one of the faculty, and they had some grandchildren, and I knew their son. And this lady said, can I show you my grandkids? And she ran over to her purse, and she's pulling out stuff. And here she's got those pictures, and I got assaulted with 17 different views of her grandkids. She loved to speak about them. She loved to praise them because she loved them with all of her heart. And if you love God with all your heart, it will come out of your lips. Do you have a private time with the Lord where you get to know him? I'm so glad that you came up with a journal, and in turn that this journal is linked into the fact that God is able. Why don't you take those Psalms and run through those Psalms and get those Psalms into your heart and build a biography of who God is and what does God do? You will be different. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he said this, can a man see himself a sinner without emotion? Can a man listen to the thunderings of the law and feel nothing? Or conversely, can a man contemplate the love of God in Christ Jesus and feel no emotion? You contemplate the fact that God loves you unconditionally. You contemplate the fact that though you were a sinner, he sent Jesus to die for you, and it will touch your heart. But then love God not only with your time, not only with your praise, but love God with your service. The second commandment is, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. This is an Old Testament prohibition that we were not to submit ourselves to false gods and idols. This was a prohibition of having idols of stone and metal and wood, but turn around that prohibition of idolatry and turn it around into serving God. You see, rather than submitting to this idol, why don't you just submit to God and serve God? Oh, we don't bow down as a whole. We don't, probably most of the folks here, you don't bow down to an idol, but there is a materialism that is prevalent in our hearts. Have you been amazed how materialistic you are ever? We have so much. And we run around trying to serve these little idols when we in turn can submit ourselves to God, we can serve God. We can serve God through our local church. How joyful it was this morning just to sit here and sing with you all and worship God together and just be in a church. You know what is so wonderful about a church is God has given every single one of you a gift. He's given you a way that you can be a part of this body and how you can serve. It was so great to see the men and the women up here singing to start the service and then to hear our dear sister sing right before the message. And then, you know, Brother Kevin's leading us, and then you got some orchestra, and then you got some people who are serving as ushers, and we all fit together. Take your gift and serve God. Don't be selfish. Don't be so self-focused and consumed with the idols of this world that you do not serve God through your church. Take your gifts, whatever they are, and let it turn into a measure of joy, and just give God your service. Last time we came out here, we ended up going, I think I went to Ponape, and as I was there and my family was able to stay here and to fly over, we left Atlanta Airport, and it was early in the morning, and so that we had to get the kids up at 3 a.m, and we're sitting there in Atlanta's airport, and I'm kind of groggy, and I'm kind of grumpy. I'm sure you've never been there. And this guy, he comes by us, and he's just singing about Jesus and how much he loves God, and he's sweeping up there in Hatfield Airport in Atlanta. And I'm looking at him, and I said, Christy, are you convicted or what? Pretty soon, this guy sits down to us, and we're witnessing to this guy, and we give him a gospel track, and he leaves, and we're still trying to take care of our family. And this guy who was sweeping and singing, he comes by, he goes, I know what you guys are. You guys are missionaries. I said, do you know Jesus? He goes, do I know Jesus? Jesus is this and Jesus is this. And I'm like, hey, man, back off. I'm on your team, man. Slow down, you know? He was just serving God at his workplace. He was just loving God as he was doing God's calling for his life. Do you realize, sir, ma'am, if you work a job, it's your opportunity to be salt and light in a dark and dying community. Give God your service. Serve God. And all that you do, whether therefore you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. Don't serve with eye service. Serve as God's service. Fear God in what you do in your workplace. You are a living gospel to everyone that's around you. Some of you, you're so angry because of your work circumstance and you didn't get the promotion, and there's been a root of bitterness that sprung up in your heart, and now it's troubling you and you're defiling many people around you, and you're not helping other people be like Christ. In fact, you're driving, pushing them away from Christ. Give God your service, but then give God your thoughts and affections. The first of the Old Testament commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And what this is this is a prohibition against mental idolatry. No inordinate attachments to the earthly and sensual things of this earth. Love God by thinking about and enjoying Him. How dreary, how lonely this changeful life would be without the sweet communion, Jesus, that secret rest with Thee. How many of you ever gone through a day, you got to the end of the day, and you were saddened because you just spent the day without the Lord? And you got to the end of your day and you realized that you lost an opportunity just to love God throughout the day by thinking, enjoying, and meditating on His Word. You see, we're not to have these other mental idols. A.W. Tozer said this, we may want God, but we want something else more, and we get what we want most. Did you hear that? We may want God, but we want something else more, and we get what we want most. That's why Colossians says, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth, but we give our thoughts and affections to things that are material, those things which we can touch, those things which we can get, the lust of the eyes. We set our affection on the sensual things, those things I can enjoy. What can I experience? The relational pride of life. What positions can I obtain? Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love God with all that you are. Love God in all that you do, but love God for the rest of your life. You say, Brother Will, where does this love come from? Do I just work it up? Where does this love come from? Where do I get it? You understand that you're not born with a natural love for God? In fact, the Bible says in John 3, verse 19, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Do you understand that you're not born with a natural love for God? There is no person here born with a natural love for God. You say, Will, but I'm kind of a good person. I do things that I do try to love people. I do try to love God, but you don't get it. Just even by you saying that you try to love God does not mean that you do. Because the Bible tells us in Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, who can know it? And to prove the point in a greater fashion, in Romans 3 it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understand. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of their way. And then it starts to say specific things. Their tongues they've used for deceit. Their mouth is full of cursing. Their feet are swift to shed blood. There's no fear of God before their eyes. God takes his law to prove to us that every single one of us is born with a heart that's rebellious, selfish, and proud. And he takes his law and systematically he proves to us. I was talking to one young man, and as I was talking to him, I said, what did you think about this message on Jesus? And he said, well, it was kind of good, but I don't see what the big deal is. I'm not a sinner. I said, what do you mean you're not a sinner? He goes, well, I'm just not that bad of a person. I said, have you ever lied before? He goes, well, everyone's lied before. I said, I'm not talking about everyone. I'm talking about you. Have you lied before? He goes, well, yeah, I've lied before. I said, have you stolen anything? He goes, oh, no, I have never stolen anything before in my life. I said, sure. You just told me you're a liar. I'm sure you stole something. Well, yeah, I've stolen a couple things. I said, have you ever looked upon a woman and lusted in your heart? Matt, Will, have you? Yeah. So you're an adulterer. Jesus said, if any man look upon a woman and lust in the heart, he's committed adultery already. I said, is there anyone you hate? He goes, oh man, there's one guy, I just cannot stand him. I said, well, Jesus said that if you hate your brother without a cause, you're in danger of the same judgment as murder. I said, you're a liar, a thief, an adulterer, and a murderer of the heart. This 17-year-old boy looks at me and goes, I'm kind of bad. I said, that's what I've been trying to tell you. You know what, every single one of us in this room, we've all made choices to break God's law. We've all made choices that demonstrate the pride, that demonstrate the rebellion, that demonstrate the selfishness. I was talking to a 77-year-old lady, and she's sitting in a wheelchair situation, and she was dressed all prim and proper, and she had such a sweet face. But as I talked to her, and we walked our way through the law, this lady looked at me, and she said, Will, I've heard a lot about Jesus, but I've never understood why I need Jesus, because I've never seen myself. Self a sinner. You see, our choices reveal who we are. We're not born with a natural love for God. To have a love for God, you must be saved. You need a heart transplant. You need God to take your sinner's heart and replace it with a heart that loves him. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation or a satisfier of the wrath of God. We were born sinners who made choices to sin. And because of our sin, we deserve to die. But Jesus took our place. Dear lady, this happened just last fall. My wife, Christy, you've heard her play the violin before. And she started lessons when she was 3 or 4 years old. And in high school, she had a very good teacher. Her name was Mrs. Reno. And Mrs. Reno was maybe a upper middle class kind of a lady who her clothes, everything matched perfectly. There's not one hair out of place. Everything about her, her posture is just perfect. Everything about her, squeaky clean. Well, she came to our service and I was preaching on John 3. And I was preaching. She just sat there and you could tell she was thinking about the message and but she didn't respond. But after this service, my wife, Christy, she leaned over Mrs. Reno and said, Mrs. Reno, when I die, I'm going to spend eternity with heaven. Mrs. Reno, I want to spend eternity with you too. Mrs. Reno, have you ever been saved? And this prim, proper 55-year-old lady has these tears that start to come down. My wife and her go out to another room and Christy opens up a Bible and just shows her how that we're all born sinners. It doesn't matter our wage class. It doesn't matter where we grew up. It doesn't matter our intelligence, but we're all born sinners. Now Jesus died on the cross If you turn from your sins and trust in Christ, you can be saved. And Mrs. Reno, right there, she prays and said, "Dear Lord, will you please save me?" And after Mrs. Reno prayed and trusted Christ, I was talking to her and she said, "Will, I think the Lord has been trying to see me saved for a long time." She said about 2, 3, 4 years ago, this man, a composer from another city, came and he wanted me to look through the sheet music. And I looked through it, and then at the end, he handed me a little pamphlet, a little piece of paper with Bible verses. She said, "Will, as I read that, I knew in my heart I needed to be saved. It could be that you've been visiting and somebody handed you a little pamphlet with Bible verses and you read it, but right as you were reading, God was speaking to you about turning from your sin and trusting in Christ." But she's put it in her Bible. She said, "My husband died 2 years ago, and after the funeral, I got the Bible open, and a little pamphlet fell out." And she said, "I opened it up, and I read through it, and again, I knew that I needed to be saved." She said, "Will, when you were preaching about John 3 and Jesus Christ being the Savior of our sins, I knew in my heart I should be saved. But Will, I was so fearful of what other people would think. I was so concerned that people would think evil of me. I was kind of embarrassed." But she said, "When your wife asked me if I need to be saved, I thought in my heart, I just don't want to put it off. I don't want to be separate from God for all of eternity." She said, "But today I ask the Lord to be my Savior." You see, this love for God, loving God with your time, loving God with your worship, loving God with your service, loving God with your thoughts, is only possible when you've been saved. And as a Christian, loving God comes through the Spirit of God. As you walk in the Spirit, you'll do the works of the Spirit, and rather than you'll have the fruit of the Spirit rather than the works of the flesh, because it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness." God is working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It could be already that this last week in your heart, that there was a quickening in your spirit and something in your heart said, "Go spend time with the Lord." Where did that come from? Was that a temptation from Satan? You see, the Lord is quickening you. He's pushing you. He's prompting you. He's wanting you to seek His face. "But be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap." And some of us, we've been sowing to the flesh. And we wonder why we're so fleshly in our choices. And we're so fleshly in our thinking. And we've been sowing to the flesh over and over and over. But God is so good that if you begin to seek His face, you will find Him. And that's why He says, "And be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not." It could be you've got a new heart, but the plaque of this world is so thick in your veins that you need the Lord to take His word and clean them out. Love God for the rest of your life. Love God in all that you do, but love God with all that you are.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled "The Greatest Passion of Life" by Evangelist Will Galkin. It was originally presented in September of 2006 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net. hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.